Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Hello, Dave.
TGIF Melody.
Yes, it is. It's Friday, November 22nd, 2019. TGIF to you, too. And, of course, this is the weekend heading up to the big Thanksgiving Day.
Yes,
Turkey
yes.
Day.
Indeed.
Indeed. Everyone is looking forward to that, as I. And maybe next Wednesday we'll have to share some of our, one of our fond memories of our Thanksgiving Day, if anyone cares to know. But I'm going to do it anyway. Your favorite food. Your favorite food. What is your favorite food? I'm going to ask you now anyway.
In general or Thanksgiving?
For Thanksgiving.
I've got to say it's probably filling. Much as I'm on low-carb intake these days, bread filling, the turkey stuffing, just there's nothing like it. And I salivate just thinking about that.
That was always one of my favorites as a child, was the in Pennsylvania Dutch country, it's called filling.
Yes.
So if you're listening anywhere else other than Pennsylvania, you call it stuffing. But we call it filling. I remember going to restaurants and seeing stuffing, and when I was just little, and I was like, I want filling. I don't know what stuffing is. And, yeah, or you'd order it. I want filling. Well, what's that?
It's stuffing. Like, huh?
Yes,
yeah.
So.
First it was my mother's mother, and then my mother's potato filling.
Oh, I never liked that.
And then later on in life, not too later on, but later enough, after I got married, my wife has perfected the bread filling that I just, it's a shame I only get to savor it once or twice a year.
Well, we're agreed on that. Stuffing is it. And
excellent.
My all-time favorite is the canned jellied cranberry. But anyway, gold today, down $2. Not bad. We had a stronger dollar today, so we're looking at gold at 1462. Silver was down 11 pennies at 1707. Platinum was down $25, almost, 2.75%. 894, and palladium was up 13 at 1780. And I'm going to just going to let the listeners think, all of you that are listening, what made palladium go up today? All right. I know you all know. We're going to talk about it right as we go into one of our first topics. The USDX today was up 0.28 at 98.26. Crude oil was down 64 cents at 57.94. Paper markets today, let's go to the paper markets. They were up 100 points earlier in the day, 109, 27,875. NASDAQ was up 13, 8,519. The S&P was up 6 at 3,110. 10-year yield, 1.77%. And let's see, foreign and Asian market. London was a little bit stronger than most, 1.22%. And Bitcoin continues to drop, 7,003. Big day yesterday, over 6%. Today it's down almost 4%, so 10% in 2 days. Let's see, what else do we have here? I guess that's pretty much it. And the reason I was asking about what made palladium go up is pretty much we're back on the trade deal. The trade deal's back on, Dave. How about that?
Well, how about it?
How about it?
Let's get back to each other tomorrow and Sunday and Monday and on and on and on.
It's potentially very close. as we've been told this morning when President Trump was on Fox and Friends. And he says, the bottom line is we have a very good chance to make a deal. But while both sides say they want to work out an agreement, Trump said he is not anxious to hash one out, claiming that the U.S. benefits from tariffs on Chinese imports. The so-called Phase 1 deal with China has yet to be completed, even though Trump announced that the two economic superpowers had come to a very substantial Phase 1 deal more than a month ago. Yawn.
I'm sorry for the my pause here. I'm just here in my studio shaking my head. It would be telling to go back maybe over the past month and see how many times the sentiment about this trade deal has changed. First on, then off, then imminent, then well, not necessarily. But Chinese President Xi Jinping did say today that Beijing wants a deal on the basis of mutual respect and equality. President Trump shot back, I didn't like his word equality, adding that this can't be like an even deal. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the crux of why this uncertainty continues. It's not necessarily about win-win. For both sides, I suspect it's a matter of I win, you don't. Now, we've heard that a deal between Beijing and Washington could lead to a rollback of at least some of the tariffs. The next round of U.S. Tariffs on Chinese imports set to kick in just a few weeks on December 15th. Trump also claimed in the nearly hour-long television interview this morning that thousands of people would have been killed in Hong Kong if not for him, because Xi Jinping would not want to ruin the ongoing trade talks. He continued, said, quote, if it weren't for me, Hong Kong would have been obliterated in 14 minutes. Melody.
You know, the demonstrators or the protesters are continuing, of course, in Hong Kong. And I think President Trump was asked if he would sign that bill that was passed by both houses of Congress supporting the Hong Kong protesters. And President said that we have to stand with Hong Kong, but he's also standing with President Xi. So I'm not sure if that means he was going to sign. Did he sign it yet?
I have not seen. I've been looking for that up until the top of the program. I did not see. So I'm taking it to mean he hasn't.
Kind of makes sense that maybe he won't sign it, or because I'm still puzzled why the Senate created it anyway. So maybe it was something that they knew that the president wouldn't sign. So it was, to show that they're doing something. Who knows anymore?
or perhaps it'll become law without his signature.
Perhaps.
Presumably sometime next week.
Well, it seems the more crazy things get, Dave, consumer sentiment rises.
Yeah, another roller coaster. Not quite as intense or as long-standing as this trade craziness, but consumer sentiment unexpectedly rose in November, according to the University of Michigan. Their monthly index of consumer sentiment climbed to 96.8 from 95.5 last month. Economists expected sentiment to actually fall to 94.9 for November. A separate index reflecting consumer expectations going forward also rose from 87.3 from 84.2 last month. Richard Curtin, who's the chief economist at the Surveys of Consumers, this latter one, said consumer sentiment had not been 95 or higher in 30 of the past 35 months. I beg your pardon, that must be referring to the University of Michigan poll. In any event, that level of optimism hasn't been seen since the period between January 1998 and December 2000, when the index remained at 100 or above in 34 of 36 months. It's very inconsistent with several other issues about retirement savings and inequality, income inequality, which we'll get to later on in the program. Melody.
You know, Janet Yellen is back in the news again. She's out there talking about, you know, it's amazing. They say these things, and it's you really figured that out on your own.
I mean, it's Yellen is Yellen.
You know, it's like, where have you been, lady? And you were actually leading the Fed. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It's almost laughable anymore what they come out and say. And, you know, they continue to say that, you know, the trade war is you know, one of the most dangerous things. And, you know, the odds of a recession are higher than normal at a level, not frankly, that she's comfortable with. Well, you know what? She was all part of it. You know, she, you know, and it's, you know, she was part of it that, that we're in the boat that we're in. And, you know, Dave, I just want to go off because I don't think we don't have anything in to talk today about the repo markets and why the stock market is so high. But there was an article out today, and yes, it was CNN Business, but it talks about the $4 trillion that's actually propelling these U.S. stocks to record highs. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, now this is, you know, CNN and blah, 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 blah. But, and it comes back to the rescue of the overnight lending markets that has this unintended side effect. And it's actually juicing the markets. And, you know, we've talked about it on this program time and time again about the spike in overnight lending rates revealed that the plumbing of the financial market was broken. We've talked about that. They're pumping in billions of dollars. Billions. And it's and with in addition to the temporary cash injections that the Fed reversed course by promising to purchase bonds, a ton of them. The Fed vowed to buy $60 billion worth of Treasury bills per month through the spring of 2020. We reported this to you, ladies and gentlemen, when this all came out. But I'm going over it again because this is why you're having the stock market at these levels. It isn't a great economy. The stock market is not an indicator of the economy. I'm not saying the economy is in the tank yet, but there's certainly plenty of signs. And when you talk about the equality and the position and the pays and everything else overall, how can consumer sentiment continue to stay at the levels that it's staying? That's why they need to legalize marijuana, I think, to keep those consumer sentiments. You know, hey, smoke a little dope and yeah, all it's good. Yeah, I'm going to say the consumer sentiment. I'm feeling good. I'm going to go buy something. But
use must be rampant already on Wall Street, Melody.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, the Fed's balance sheet has swelled to $286 billion since early September to $4.05 trillion. So borrowing costs in this critical corner of Wall Street are now back in line. You know, the Fed is saying, oh, no, it's not QE. Oh, no, 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 no. Yes, 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 yes. Dave, it's just, I don't know, it was a pretty good little article. And, you know, you can say it's just semantics and so forth, but it isn't. It's money being pumped into the system to keep it going.
Well, it's the lesson that we almost preach regularly, and that's don't look at what they say, ladies and gentlemen, although words do matter, as we know. Listen, look at what they do, and what they're doing belies some of the comments that we've heard and that we continue to hear every day that defies reality.
Yeah, and as the Fed is boosting the bond market, it just makes it easier for companies to borrow cash, and then they use it to buy shares. Those share repurchases help boost demand for stocks. It's going to be real interesting to see how these, because right before they started doing the, you know, pumping the money into these repo markets overnight, I remember we were talking about how the share buybacks were actually falling.
Right.
Now, I'd like to see what type of curve it has to the upside on these. So, the T-bill purchases reduce returns on short-term government bonds, making stocks look more attractive by comparison. That is pushing investors with short-term horizons toward the stock market. It is contributing to a stronger stock market. So, you know, I wish they'd do a little bit of that to gold.
Yeah, how
about
it?
Pump some of that money into the gold market.
How about it? What we seem to be reading, especially in the ETF markets, certainly not with coins and jewelry, but in the ETFs, we're starting to see more and more manipulation. And I suspect, I'm not sure if we can find this out, but I suspect that Wall Streeters are the ones who are doing some of this manipulation. So be careful, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, gold and ETFs is a start if you feel that's the way you got to go, but it's still paper. Your best bet for safety, short and particularly long term in volatile times, is get into bullion.
Yeah, ETFs are for folks who have millions of dollars. Millions. Because I guarantee you they have whatever they have in paper backed by physical.
Right.
And that's the key. And but they try to get the little guy in there because when he goes belly up, he doesn't have any money to sue him or anything like that. So they don't worry about the little guy. You know, they can just take his money and be done with him. And if you don't think that's how they think, you're sadly mistaken. So the thing is, you really have to take it on your own and swim upstream and take physical delivery of your gold. These ETFs aren't even audited, as far as I know.
Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. Well, that's important information, Melody. And before we head into a break, let's touch on this interesting piece of news about Ray Dalio's hedge fund, the largest in the world, has staked more than $1 billion that global equity markets will fall over the next 3 months. You know, the wager placed by him, by his company Bridgewater Associates, would pay off the firm if either the S&P 500 or the Euro Stoxx 50 or both decline. Wall Street Journal said this bet uses put options assembled over months by Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley that give investors the option of selling stocks at a predetermined price by a given date. Talk about market manipulation.
Absolutely. So good luck in there, ladies and gentlemen. But we'll be right back right after these few short commercials. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can listen to these programs archived on a daily or long-term basis. And, of course, you can listen live at 4 o'clock Eastern Time at the little red bar right at the top of the page at the website. So, dgscoins.com. And, you know, during the break, it's kind of a slow news day. You know, if you're not talking about the impeachment, if you're not talking about, you know, it's really kind of a slow news day, I think, you know, as far as, you know, finances and things like that. So, during the break, we actually started talking about some of our young television Saturday morning programs. And since Dave and I were basically from the same area, the same town, we had a little guy called Percy Platterpuss. And I was telling him during the break, when I went away when we were little kids and we'd go visit relatives out west or someplace, I could never understand why I couldn't find Percy Platterpuss on the TV on Saturday morning. I just thought everybody got to see it. I didn't understand that things like that were regional. So it was a rude awakening when I was 21 years. No, you know, I'm just kidding there. But anyway, don't mean to, you know, rehash our memories from our youth, but that was when television was good.
We're celebrating the fact that we still have memories that go back that far.
Well, you know, what was funny, I saw an article, I actually started reading it because the headline was something about why time seems to speed up as you age.
And what's the theory there?
Well, the theory was that when you're younger, you can, which I thought it would be the opposite, because when you're younger, you can absorb more in a shorter period of time than when you're older. It takes longer to absorb things. And I thought, well, wouldn't that slow it down? But I supposedly it speeds it up.
And that's one of the reasons, I know for decades, you know, educators have said, you know, we should be teaching our children second languages and third languages when they're still in elementary school, because they're still in that sponge phase of life.
Yeah.
Really, and I must confess, I'm probably now on my third, maybe fourth year of trying to learn Spanish. And I'll be gosh darned if I'm as every bit as far away from getting to the point that I thought I'd be after the first 3 months of my self-training. And perhaps it's because it's just harder. and that may just be nothing more than, you know, speaking to our aging brains.
Well, you're not allowed to speak Spanish on the program. Can you say something? Have you?
Oh, hola. ¿Cómo estás, señora? ¿Qué
not
pasa?
Bad. Not bad. Not bad. But so that was the reason why time speeds up. And then in the comments section, we'll move on, ladies and gentlemen, I promise. In the comments section, there was actually one, they were actually saying that when you're younger, that's like only 1/10 of your life. And when you're older, it's 1/80th. And it's shorter when you're 1-8, and I'm there. Okay, I...
I won. I mean, don't you remember? I don't know. I remember from, I don't know how young I was, but forever in my youth, I just wanted to be a grown-up. I couldn't wait to get to adulthood. And then when I hit 25, it was like, this isn't necessarily what I thought it would be. Too much responsibility, too many growing expectations. And now, several decades later, it's like, I think becoming more and more aware of our mortality and knowing that more of our lives are behind us than in front of us, I sure as heck want it to slow down.
Absolutely. So I'm not quite sure how to slow down time, but I guess if you had a dentist appointment every day.
There you go.
Or sitting in his chair, because it never seems to go fast when you're sitting in the dentist chair. Anyway, going into the break, we were talking about how Ray Dalio, he's got the largest hedge fund, and they're beating heads with the Fed, and you know he's betting over $1 billion that the market's going to crash, and it's a lot of money, but again, it shows just how manipulated the markets are. And again, they're talking about, he thinks that, there's a trade war, there's a technology war, there's a geopolitical war, and he thinks that there could be capital wars. Of course there's going to be capital wars. And he says how that's approached is going to determine what our futures are like. And, you know, that's very true.
Indeed.
And we did talk earlier this week about the UMSCA. Every time I say UMSCA, I want to start singing YMCA. But anyway, so if you missed an earlier program, you might not have seen the news that the House Democrats and the Trump administration didn't come to an agreement on the new American trade deal. Lawmakers in the White House have been working for weeks to resolve Democratic concerns about enforcement tools for labor environmental standards under the deal. And... they didn't make the both sides with Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and House Speaker Pelosi. I guess they did make some progress, but they did not strike a final agreement. And of course, that was probably why they signed the continuing resolution yesterday. Also, so I'm sure the two tied together. Because I think they were trying to get that, and that's what they do, give me this, give me that, and I'll give you this, and they make a deal. Doesn't matter about what the budget really is, doesn't matter what they really spend, it's just a matter of what they can get. And so, anyway, it's disgusting.
The art of what's possible, not necessarily what's best for the country.
Right, it's disgusting. So they didn't approve that. Mexico is the only one that has ratified it so far. Canada has not ratified it, and of course we have not either. So I don't know what that means with Mexico, because they ratified it. Is certain parts of it working, or we would still be under the NAFTA?
Nope, still under existing provisions until the new treaty is ratified.
So anything else you want to add to that?
No, not really. I mean, this is an important deal. I mean, the U.S. sent about $300 billion in goods to Canada last year, $265 billion to Mexico. Labor is still not on board. Richard Trumka, who heads the AFL-CIO, says that, they can't and won't support any deal that doesn't deliver for working people. The Trump administration needs to submit ratifying legislation to Congress for the House to move forward with approving the agreement. Once the White House submits its text, it starts a 90-day window for congressional approval. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to wrap that up, because obviously without an agreement of the nuts and bolts, it just won't make it through the House.
Well, you know, your latest blog that is coming out as we speak, and again, listeners, you can subscribe to our blog and newsletter at dgscoins.com or read about them on Facebook page at dgscoins. And it is about the rebound of gold over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, Melody. On November 7th, it's about a little over 2 weeks ago, gold dipped to $1,464 from its 2019 high of $1,550 that was reached in early September. Since then, we here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading been taking a page out of mainstream pundits' books by encouraging investors to buy on the dip and increase their holdings of gold and silver. Well, 15 days after that correction, gold's on track for its second straight weekly gain, as uncertainties about, as you mentioned earlier, the fate of a phase one trade deal and countless other economic geopolitical trends remain. All told, Melody, gold has risen a little over 12 bucks from its most recent low of 1452, hit 10 days ago, and it was on its way. Earlier today, it was over 1464, its price on the 7th. Gold has gained about less than a tenth of a percent for the week after a 0.6% rise last week. Gold futures climbed slightly this morning to just shy of 1464 an ounce. That's up 10 bucks from their recent low of 1453 and change on November 12th.
Yeah, and there's just a lot more of other folks who are out there, analysts, that are saying that gold is, they're bullish on gold. I mean, why wouldn't they be?
Well,
in the situation that everyone is in.
Oh, absolutely. Commerce Bank analyst Carsten Fritsch says gold is on the bullish side, given the ongoing uncertainty regarding trade talks, which increased following the approval of the Hong Kong bills in Congress this week. And he added, in all likelihood, Trump's going to sign the bill, which could be a stumbling block for a solution in trade talks, and hurt prospects of continued negative interest rates. All that continues to support investment demand in gold. As we told listeners and just mentioned, the Senate passed two bills already passed in the House that intended to support protesters in Hong Kong and send a warning to China about human rights. And all that is to China's great displeasure, which has told the U.S., but out of our internal affairs.
So we see gold seems to be on the verge of passing and returning to levels previously seen on November 7th, perhaps next week. And again, at the risk of repeating this mantra ad nauseum, the trade war between the world's two largest economies, of course, has sent markets into a nonstop roller coaster ride. Has it been 16 months? Why does it seem like it's been for 80 years?
Forever. Oh, it's
forever.
Because we read about it virtually every day. We talk about it almost every program. Everybody seems to be saying that it's, if not the major reason, which more often than not they say it is, it's a major reason for growing pessimism in U.S. markets and markets around the world. So it's just blasted into our foreheads, and we're sorry we keep placing so much emphasis on it. For sure, these computer algorithms have got to have language tied to this trade deal, because it just unreasonably so that whenever there's a comment, and we've seen it, we saw it early this morning when the president said, he said, hey, things are looking good potentially anytime. And the markets bounced, and then, hold on, not so quick again. And
that's what it's about. And, and going back to what Greenspan said a long time ago, he said, it's not what the Fed does, it's what we say. And it's the same thing with the president. It's what he says. They move markets, and they know it. And they do it to do exactly what it does. And I think it's, I don't know if, you know, it's kind of like the Fed lowering the rate, the interest rate, so they can raise them if we head into a recession. And it's almost the same thing. They'll say that the trade agreement is not going well, so they drop the market intentionally just so they can say, oh, we're close to deal, just so they can raise it.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's that mentality. I mean, it seems like, oh my gosh, Melanie, that's a little far fetched. Is it? Is it really? I'm not so sure.
Absolutely not. The manipulation is almost shameless.
It truly is. And what's bad about that, ladies and gentlemen, if it's not affecting you, it's affecting somebody. And people make decisions. Business people make decisions on what's released and the information and the direction. And how can they make decisions and move forward in a world that, you know, I don't know. I mean, luckily, with Discount Gold and Silver, we're based in gold. That's really easy because we know where that's going. And that goes without question. I mean, but in a lot of these other businesses that's based on trade and based on so many other things, it's, that's why the sentiment always surprises me. And I just figure they just flat out lie about it. So it's also how they ask the questions. And you have more than half of Americans. We talk all the time. They don't have $400 in case there's an emergency, or $1,000 in savings in case there's an emergency. That means they're even their credit cards got to be tapped out. And more than half of U.S. adults, 52%. Say they are behind where they should be when it comes to saving for retirement. Among pre-retirees, the lag is more pronounced. 57% of younger baby boomers, and which are age 55 to 64, and 63% of Generation X, and they're the ones that are between 39 and 54, they say they're behind. If you look at the economy, you might say it's great, says Mark Hamrick. He's senior economic advisor or analyst at Bankrate.com. But the reality is that there can be disconnects between that and Americans' personal finances. So which is the most important? We'll talk about this when we come back from break. Please stay tuned. Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Heading into the break, we were talking about how half of Americans saying they're behind on savings, particularly retirees. 52% said they're behind where they want to be. And the number is 57% for younger baby boomers, 63% for Generation X. They're all behind. Yeah, I can understand some of those, but for the it's those are dangerous numbers, because the way I see it, Dave, those are dangerous numbers, because what does their future hold? You know, when we're
it's a lot of uncertainty,
and there is a big disconnect between what we hear about the great economy versus America's personal finances. We've had, I'm not going to say we had an economic expansion. We've had growth, not a super growth, but growth. I thought, okay, it's expanding in its 11th year. That's still debatable, but, and this person, Mark Hamrick, he also talks about this growth has been accompanied by strong precious metals along with stock market gains. And he says that in turn has led to retirement account balances that have made 401k account millionaires out of a record number. So why are they having a problem with being behind in the retirement?
Well, it just hasn't benefited the expansion, or whatever you want to call it, hasn't benefited all people, all workers equally. You know, we know that the median account balance of 401k accounts, half or above, half or below the median among pre-retirees, is far from the $1 million mark. You know, Vanguard, which has a How America Saves report, looks at the $1 million as a minimum threshold to live in retirement, not necessarily comfortably either, but for people ages 55 to 64, the median account balance last year was about $62,000. For those 45 to 54, it was a little over $40,000.
And you know, though, Dave, most people, if they don't have a retirement with their company for their in their workplace, they don't have a retirement account. It really is hard to save because your goal is to, you know, try to pay everything off. Try to save, but we're just our climate. It's very difficult for people. And
yeah. Smaller companies, in particular, have a difficult time absorbing the staff time it takes to review, if not administer, some of these 401k plans or IRA plans or other company savings plans. And those are the ones I suspect, I didn't see it in this report anyway, but I suspect it's people who are employed by these small companies who are much farther behind than those of larger companies who've had 401k plans for decades now.
But also we have a different economy that supplies jobs. I mean, we've got the gig economy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Those are contract employees, and you know, we wanted to talk a little bit about 35% of U.S. workforce now freelances. They don't have retirement accounts.
It's an excellent segue, Melody. Freelance life can be a tough business. You're always hustling for the next job. Now a new list ranking in-demand job skills shows exactly which technical talents are going to really get you paid.
this list from Upwork. It's a job hiring platform for freelancers and employers, is heavy on digital skills, though it's not all about computers. Employers are looking for freelancers with writing skills and people skills too, according to the list. Now, the average hourly rate for the top 100 skills was almost $44 in the third quarter this year, it's according to Upwork. That's more per hour than 88% of workers in the overall U.S. economy. Melody, what are some of these five most sought after skills?
Why, they're all related to technology, maybe. No. You have Netcore, which is an open source development platform that can be used to create all sorts of devices and cloud applications. There are web tutorials on how to use the platform. And I just was reading a headline today, Dave, that is it Google's cloud?
Yes.
That we're told day in and day out for how long that it's all your stuff in there is so secure and everything like that.
Oh.
Now they come out and say, no, no, it isn't. And it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe people even believe that they thought their stuff was secure anywhere on the internet. Oh, it's in the cloud. It's in the cloud. Anyway, back to this. You have TypeScript. That's an open source coding language, which is also the source of various web tutorials. Creating land pages, creating e-books. These projects could encompass skills like creative writing, content writing, ghostwriting, graphic design, and using the Android platform. That is the operating system Google has developed for the use in cell phones, tablets, and other devices. So tasks here could include the development of games, apps, and augmented for virtual reality products.
Interesting stuff.
This is wow.
Yeah,
I'm glad I'm 39.
Yeah, how about it? How about it? And you're retiring at 40, right?
Correct.
Well, Upwork's list comes during a tight job market when many employers are on the hunt for talent and while the gig economy is growing. About 57 million Americans, it's 35% of the workforce, as Mel said at the top of this, now freelance. That's an increase of about 3 million since 2015. Demand for the top 100 skills on Upwork as of the third quarter this year grew at least 45% year over year. Demand for the top 10 skills surged over 260%. So the sought after skills aren't all related to computers, although, as Melody noted, the top five certainly are. But interviewing and interior design take the 19th and 20th spots. Boy, how far have we fallen from grace here, Melody? English grammar is ranked 76th. And to my good friend Mariah Stewart, the romance novelist, romance writing is in the 86th spot. Good Lord. I'm going to have to give her a call over the weekend and see if she realizes. I wonder if her book sales reflect that. I hope not.
I haven't heard anybody talk about a romance novel in a long time.
Gosh, I don't remember the last time I've read one.
Oh, Fabio. Hey, you have Europe Tech. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, the news is bad today. The news is very limited today.
And can you tell Melody lives at the beach?
Oh, boy. I mean, some of the headlines, I mean, there are important news. I mean, I didn't want to talk about the impeachment. I think you get enough on it 24/7 in other places. We give our opinions on other days and so forth. So, you know, Israel, you know, BB's going to jail maybe. And, you know, the funny thing is Tesla claimed that the pickup truck was bulletproof and then smashed a window with a metal ball. How would you like to have a, you know, that's a little bit of a, so, I mean, there really isn't.
That was just so so comical, so embarrassing for Elon Musk, that that photo.
Yeah, but
of,
I mean,
of them standing next to the the caved-in windows.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, this is the news, and I guess we're heading into Thanksgiving holiday next week. Iran says world war against its foiled. You know, that's the same thing. Rage escalating as economic stress reaches new level. That's just what we're talking about. You know, the good news economy is not reflecting in people's pocketbooks. So it's very stressful for them. So just a lot of weird stuff going on. And so this is why we're talking about the Eurotech startups are seeing surge in U.S. capital. And the amount of capital coming from investors in the U.S. and Asia, and it's not because funds in these regions are simply hedging their bets amid the U.S.-China trade war. So far this year, over 20% of European startup funding rounds have included a U.S. or Asian investor, and that's up from 10% in 2015. Venture capital firm Atomico came out with these numbers earlier this week. And again, when you look at the trade war going on between the U.S. and China, it kind of makes Europe look like a relatively safe middle ground. But that's not why North American and Asian investors are choosing to back the European startups. Instead, said an Atomico official, they wouldn't deploy capital if they didn't believe the investors would deliver. Yeah, I don't know about that, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Well, investments into European tech startups this year surged over $34 billion, and that's up 40% from the previous year. While overall investment into U.S. and Asian startups still surpasses that of Europe, that gap is reportedly getting smaller. Atomico's report reveals that the U.S. and Asia saw a dip in the overall amount of investment flowing into their own startups. American investors have backed European startups with almost $10 billion this year. That's up from just under six in 2018. While Asian investors have pledged $4 billion. That's more than doubled from 1.7 the year before. But this money isn't necessarily being evenly distributed, according to Atomico, as 92% of the money invested in European startups went to companies with all-male founding teams.
Well, you know, I had mentioned a little bit briefly about BB. I guess we are going to talk about him today. And we mentioned it a little bit yesterday, but it's now official. Prime Minister, a defendant, awaiting trial on criminal charges. Interviews with voters from across the political spectrum kept landing on the same themes. And one word kept coming up, earthquake. You have Netanyahu. He's just determined to remain in power. But even some rock-solid Netanyahu voters have expressed doubts. And, you know, we haven't heard anything from Kushner or the president about Netanyahu. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they were the best buds, BFFs, and, you know, they could, you know, kept helping one another. And this continues to keep Israel striking in Syria. That hasn't changed or anything like that. So I don't know. It's just kind of, you know, some of these younger Israelis can't even remember a life before the Netanyahu era.
It's true.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's true.
Been in office for a long time.
But the other ones were just as
controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are others who, you know, reported to be fed up with Bibi. They almost welcomed his indictment like an answered prayer. But, you know, Israel is still a melting pot of Jewish and Muslim women in head coverings, old Ethiopians in traditional garb, younger ones in jeans, ultra-Orthodox and Mizrahi men shouting barely decipherable sales pitches, all of them easily mixing in the passageways for giving the occasional bumps.
Well, you know, So again, and you know, we talk about 1 minute's this, next minute it's that, and maybe that's why time seems to be going so fast, because everything else is changing, and every time it changes, it speeds things up. And it's the same thing with Japan and South Korea. Now, you know, they've had escalating tensions for months, and now it seems like everything is improving, and that's good. Now, don't get me wrong, it's good. Seoul had decided at the last minute today to temporarily extend a military intelligence sharing pact with Japan that South Korea had vowed to abandon as recently as August. South Korea's planned withdrawal from the three-year-old pact, a serious rupture between these two close American allies, was set to go into effect by midnight tonight. So just hours before the deadline, they decided to reverse their decision for now. So this reversal comes on the eve of a group of 20 foreign ministers in Nagoya, Japan. So it's officials in the administration of South Korea's president, Moon Jae-in, emphasized that the decision could change depending on subsequent negotiations with Japan. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that seems like good news for America, for the U.S., particularly as, you know, we come to the end of the year when we're still looking for some movement from North Korea in its denuclearization pledges.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap it up for Friday night for November 22nd. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. I want you to have a safe weekend. So until Monday, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.